This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick presents King James, a play that takes a funny and heartfelt look at loyalty, ambition, and celebrates the connections that keep us going. Matt and Sean, two Clevelanders, forge an unlikely connection over their shared passion for the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers. And at that time, rising basketball star LeBron James. Spanning 12 years, their friendship is shaped by the triumphs and challenges of both fandom and life itself. King James is running through April 6th at the George Street Playhouse. And today on Sports Jam, I'm thrilled to have the director of the show, Ryan George. Ryan, great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, Doug.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And the two stars of the show, New York-based actor and writer Doug Harris. Doug, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Doug.
And Brooklyn-based actor and storyteller Blake Morris from the South Side of Chicago. Blake, thanks so much for joining us on Sports Jam.
Hey, good morning, Doug. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have a show that, you know, I love plays, I love musicals, I love Broadway, I love sports. You're putting this all together for me now. It's not a musical, but certainly a play about sports and friendship. Right up my alley. So let's start with the director, Ryan George. Ryan, you are a sports fan.
Yes, absolutely. Huge sports fan. Grew up in Miami, was a Dolphins fan, Miami Heat fan, played Pop Warner football growing up, you know, did everything, played in the street, did all the stuff. So I'm very much a big sports guy. Yeah.
And you went to the University of Florida when the Gators had Tim Tebow as their quarterback in national championship runs.
They did. And of course, don't forget Joakim Noah and Al Horford. I was there for the basketball championships and the football. So it was a great time to be a sports fan, especially a college sports fan, seeing that no school had ever done that. So I was very much spoiled to experience all that winning, for sure.
Indeed. The Pulitzer Prize finalist, Rajiv Joseph, is the playwright of King James. And he had this whole idea because as a Clevelander, he was fascinated with the pageantry of watching an NBA game live. How were you approached, Ryan, to help with this show?
Honestly, I was coming to the end of finishing a production of George Street Playhouse, acting in it last year. And that has been my relationship with George Street, is that I've been hired there multiple times and built a great relationship to perform on their stage. And I was talking to Leona Michelle, the artistic associate, and I was interested, because I'd started directing the past few years, and I was interested in finding a pathway in to maybe assistant direct with her or with David, who is the artistic director of George Street. And she had told me that this play was potentially coming up on their season. And she contacted me a few weeks after we had this discussion and said, we would like for you to actually direct this play. And we think you're a great fit. And, you know, we here at George Street trust you, and we know your style, and we enjoy your presence. So we'd love for you to take a shot at this play. And so I was obviously taken aback. I didn't think they would give me something right away, but I'm very grateful. And I do love George Street. I've been very, very happy to build such wonderful connections there. And so yeah, when they gave me this, I was totally up for it. As someone who already knew of the play before, having auditioned for it before, I'm sure like Doug and Blake have probably auditioned for this play before once it started making its regional run. So it's a play that was already on my radar as someone who was interested in it in multiple facets.
Yeah, you mentioned Leona Michelle, who we've had here on the show before, and she's just wonderful. And David Saint is a genius. So you really have great support there at George Street. And, you know, you have performed there and directed there. So what is it about George Street, before we get into King James, that makes it so special? It's one of those fascinating places that bring in such great talent like yourself and Blake and Doug to an audience, and it's right there. It's so easy to get to. It's just in the great part of New Brunswick. Tell us about your thoughts on GSP.
First off, it genuinely is the people. I think the staff there and the team there are extremely kind. They do genuinely want to make interesting work and treat people well, respect you in all the kinds of ways. Cause you know, and any as it is in any job, sometimes you come across a team that isn't so good, and that can make the work difficult. And so I'm very glad that this is a company that does strive to be better every year. And they do take chances with work that they bring to the stage, so that's always fun. And being close to New York is also helpful in that sense. It gives us the ability to go back and forth from home to work there. So those are definitely huge keys to, I think, people enjoying spending time there.
It's over! It's over! Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions. Cleveland's long sports nightmare has ended. The drought is over. 52 years. Time to celebrate a title. And the emotions for LeBron James, who delivers on his promise to come home and bring a championship to his beloved hometown.
So we mentioned at the top, Matt and Sean are these two Clevelanders in the play, and Dunk Harris and Blake Morris play them. Blake, for you, when you first got this script, what went through your mind? I mean, you certainly are familiar with some of the greatest players in sports, and thus being LeBron James and also Michael Jordan. So this had to be right up your alley as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I remember, well, first, before ever reading the play, I got off the train, and the play was currently running off Broadway in New York. And I saw a flyer for it. It's like large poster, King James. And in the flyer, there were two characters. Neither of them looked like LeBron James. But there was like a Cleveland Cavaliers like jersey maybe in the poster. So it was very quick. I was getting off the subway, and I remember walking, looking, and thinking like, are we doing a play in tribute to LeBron James? Like, it felt like a little premature. And I'm like, I love LeBron as anyone, but I mean, I don't know. It felt a little bit like building a statue for him very early. And so that was my very first time even knowing that the play existed. And then once it started to make its regional run, I had a couple auditions, and I was able to have the full script. And I read it, and it just was so much beneath the surface. I mean, I think that I love plays that do that. It's about one thing, but underneath it, there's a whole story taking place, and it's informed by the thing that's in the forefront. You know, it's like we come back to LeBron James throughout the play, and I think his energy is felt in the play. But I don't know. I think even someone who has vague familiarity with LeBron James, it's very likely. I mean, he's still active now, but there are definitely people who don't know every detail about him. But you could come into the show with just a vague familiarity of LeBron James, and it will still you could still follow along, and it'll still, I think, be very worthwhile. So
Very much like Sports Jam. We don't get into the X's and O's of the games because that's for other shows, right? But it's about people. It's about relationships. It's about learning more about the individuals who we see every day and cheer for, or whether it be a coach, a player, and in this case, actors and directors. And Doug, tell us about your character. First of all, congratulations. Your Eagles are Super Bowl champions.
Hey, but yeah, on behalf of the Philly fandom, I just want to say thank you. No, yeah, I'm stoked. It's been a great, I can sleep now. That's the thing. So I'm happier that way.
And you risk your life every day when you wear your Eagle stuff in New York City, where you live.
Yeah, but I always said if I could die an honorable death, I would be willing to do it. So I'm there for it. No. People have this preconceived notion, true or not, I'll let you debate, but that Philly fans are insane. So mostly people just don't approach me, which is pretty cool. So that's good. That's fine. Yeah, and I have a 14-month-old, so if she's with me, people know I'm not totally crazy. So it's fine. Good. Yeah.
Tell us about your character in King James.
Yeah, I mean, he's a pretty interesting guy. I think he's like, you know, this play, and the thing that resonates with me is the way for me that sports has served as a jumping off point for a lot of conversations that are more complicated, especially when you're talking about like being a man, masculinity, you know. I mean, there's always that like conversations with your dad type thing, you know, But for me specifically in this story, it's about friendship and how like people who are feeling maybe pretty lonely, they go to these places where people gather for these events and they find each other there. And, you know, then they have to work their way around it from that. You know, Matt's a pretty interesting guy. He's sort of stuck. He's frustrated. He's ambitious. But he's also, you know, dealing with growing up. And I think that journey is hard for everybody, but for somebody who maybe speaks before they can quite wrap their mind around what they're going to say, and occasionally won't stop speaking, it's hard to, you know, slow your roll, as it were. So meeting somebody who's very oppositional in like certain dynamics and the way that they approach life and thoughtfulness, and, you know, it's a really interesting journey of two people learning from each other, and choosing to keep coming back to those conversations over time. All the little kids growing up on the skids and go Cleveland Rocks, Jonathan Gene, Gene is Moody, James Dean is going Cleveland Rocks, 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 Cleveland Rocks.
Like, you play Sean, and when this relationship develops between the two of you, you know, Doug mentioned it. Sports is a universal connector, right? You might not have anything else in common, but if you root for the same sports teams or follow the same leagues, whether it be the Premier League in soccer, whether it be the NFL or the NBA or the NHL. Recently, I ran into two guys at Madison Square Garden. Were there for their first hockey game ever, and they were from Sweden. Right. And they were Penguins fans. So we got to connect right through. What a bizarre way to meet, you know, somebody from Sweden at MSG rooting for your Pittsburgh team on the Rangers home ice. But, you know, for Sean, take us into the mindset of Sean a little bit.
Oh, man. Sean, in the time that I've been living with him, he's very observant. He's an observer, I think, first and foremost. He definitely struggles a bit with, I think, feeling out of place. I think he's very deeply concerned with how people see him and how they don't see him. And you kind of see throughout the play, there are moments where he kind of opens up, and then there are moments where he's in his shell, and there's a beautiful balance between him and Matt in those moments where he kind of gets pulled out and we can kind of see him kind of come back in. And I think, but sports is one of those things where it clicks. I think when it's sports involved, he's all the way open. And for me personally, my way in and understanding him is that sports and stories have always been connected. You know, it's the story behind, it's not just the team, but there's an attachment that he has to the team, and it's attached to a particular time in his life. Just like you know, a lot of folks, I have friends from Detroit and who, their grandparents were Lions fans. So this year it was like, you know, I never watched football, but the Lions started doing good. And my granddad always had his Lions jersey on Sunday. And so I was, you know, it's the story and it's the sort of familiar connection that I think is mostly what roots him in his sports, his love for sports. And I think that as he started trying to reestablish family, then his connection to sports also gets a little bit discombobulated, you know? So, It's a nice connection between the two.
Ryan, George, when we think about sports, there's only one team that can win, right? And so most of the fans are disappointed, except for Doug this year in the NFL, right?
That's right. Only one can win. That's right.
Only one can win, and even if you're spoiled like I am with six Super Bowls as a Steelers fan, you're still upset when they don't, you know, either don't make the playoffs or lose. When you think about this play, obviously, as you know, Blake talked, it's more about relationship than it is about sports. What does it make you think about yourself? What have you learned about yourself, not only working with Doug and Blake, but the play King James? What have you learned about yourself?
I mean, I think even as artists, there's a lot of correlation between working in the theater acting industry, directing, because there is a lot of failure. There's a lot of missed opportunities, or you feel there's missed opportunities, or you feel you're getting passed by and all this. And so, you know, as you said, only one person gets the championship, only one person gets the job in this industry too. And so what this play, I think, teaches us, that connects to us as well, is that you know, you got to get back up, you got to keep trying. And so, in regards to this friendship, these friends continue to get, they experience their own life failures or bumps in the road or new exciting chapters open up, just the same way as LeBron was experiencing that through his first 12, 13 years, which the play covers, from Cleveland to Miami and back to Cleveland, of like success, but then failure, never reaching the exact thing that you want, but then realizing sometimes that's okay because it takes you on a new journey. And I think the exploration of that reflects not only for sports, respects for the art industry, specifically acting and theater, in the theater realm. I think reflects for other people in other different pursuits. And so there's that universal thing that sports teaches us, is that even though you fail, if you really want it, you have to keep trying, making yourself better, finding new avenues, also realizing, like, don't beat your head over the same thing. If the door is not opening, go find another door. And that's, you know, some of the best athletes in the world, in whatever sport, find that, you know, they find another thing to hone or a new mindset to get themselves across the finish line. And so that, I think, is definitely something that permeates universally from this play. And I think something that all three of us have drawn us to this play over the years, and as well as what we'll be getting into this week when we get into the room. And I think that is what's exciting, is that we're going to be trying, you know, new avenues, new things throughout the play. And that is always a joy, being able to be in the room and witness people take chances. And if it doesn't work, it's all right. We'll get them the next day. And the same thing as when the show is finally open and they're on stage and doing the thing, and, you know, maybe that day, you know what, didn't get it, didn't hit the way I wanted. I'll be back tomorrow. I'll hit the game winner tomorrow. You know, like, it's the same, you know, being the fact that live sports and live theater, they feel they have that similar energy of that you don't know what's going to truly happen, and the magic, any type of magical moment can occur. So that's also the beauty of this play, and for any artistic adventure that's live. And so I think that's what makes this bond of sports and theater even more exciting.
Yeah, same thing can be said for musicians and sports stars. They seem Absolutely. To always want to be the other, right? They mm-hmm. they have this admiration across the way. I remember when I had Earl the Pearl Monroe on, he talked about his relationship with Miles Davis and how both kind of wanted to be each other, you know, as they went through their amazing careers. Pulitzer Prize finalist Rajiv Joseph is the playwright, as I mentioned. And he has, you know, he got that for Bengal Tiger at the Baghdad Zoo, and has been such a creator through his career already. What do you think about Rajiv's writing that makes him special when you look at it, and how, you know, things are related? I mean, when you think about passion, right? Passion always creates, to me, the best creativity, Ryan. Obviously, he was passionate about his Cavaliers, so you have to be able to see that in the play, right?
Absolutely. I think any great artist, especially when it comes to writing, if they're able to pull from their own personal experience, it makes it much more tangible and much more grounded. And so I think in a lot of Rajiv's writing, from, you know, Bengal Tiger, the Baghdad Zoo, or Guards of the Taj, which also is a wonderful play of his, and this one too, it feels extremely contemporary and honest in the moment, and the way these two men speak. And that thing, he's also tapping into his own personal experiences of being a man watching LeBron James, being a sports fan, connecting with other men in that sense of building friendships. And I think that's what makes it so relatable, is that it does truly feel like two young men talking about sports and then growing together talking about sports, but really they're talking about each other and each other's lives, and the ways that we do and we don't talk about how we feel or what we need in terms of support, in terms of advice. any of that. And I think his ability to capture language and conversation is extremely high. And I think that's why his work just, you know, clicks for a lot of people.
Meet Sean and Matt, two friends with one thing in common, the love of basketball. From Pulitzer Prize finalist Rajiv Joseph comes a comedy about unlikely friendship, fandom, connection, and NBA superstar LeBron James. Don't miss one of the best plays you'll see all year, King James. For tickets, visit georgestreetplayhouse.org.
Like, you kind of mentioned it when you saw the poster and said, is this about, you know, is this about LeBron James? I wonder if anybody could really play LeBron James. The one thing that I always noticed about him is he has muscles that I didn't know the human body had, right? It's like, what is that? Well, I certainly didn't experience, you know, that. Didn't spend much time in the weight room, as you can tell. But
right.
But I don't think I could have ever done that. But because of his routine, he has been able to last in the game. So who knows how long people are going to see King James, and he's still on the court, which is amazing. When you think about, you know, the superstars, and you think about the hard work that goes into being an actor, that's another thing that you guys can, you know, can relate to. You have to be in great physical shape.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. And I mean, with a show like this, a two-hander, it's like one-on-one, you know, it's you and the other person. You don't get a chance to like retreat or go off stage. It's like, no, we start and we're going. But like what Ryan said, the live action moment of it is what, you know, you kind of have to be present. You kind of have to stay listening. All of the work that you've done all week could come down to one moment, the same way, you know, a game-winning shot. And I think that there's a pressure in that, but there's also a bit of a freedom in that where it's like, well, this last 5 minutes of this show, or this last monologue is not going to be the thing that determines what kind of actor I've been my whole life. It's just what I'm able to do in this moment. And so it kind of like the sports element allows you to be present in it. And you watch stars, you watch someone like LeBron James, you get to see him fail big and to see him win big. Even last night he was trending and I got so nervous. I was like, why is LeBron trending? What happened? And he bowed out of the All-Star game. Another announcement that like kind of not as big as the decision, of course, but still shook people. But how artists have, how you know, athletes have to take care of themselves. And it's a tough position too when so many people rely on LeBron James for some kind of, and not just it's beyond entertainment for some folks at this point. I think that he is the reason why a lot of people still watch the game. And I think that some of that pressure of when I can take care of myself versus when I can give to the work, you know, actors, it's such a direct relationship between us and the audience and showing up and giving most of ourselves to the work. And yeah, there's a physical taking care of yourself. There's also a mental taking care of yourself. And I have no idea. We can see the results of LeBron's physical, you know, maintenance that he does for himself, but the mental maintenance that he has to do, I can't imagine what that's like, you know. But the similarities, I think, really keeps me drawn to sports.
Doug Harris, I'm curious. I always wonder when you're in a production like this, especially an intimate production where there's two people going back and forth, what's your relationship with Blake now? What was it before and what is now?
Well, I didn't know Blake before this. I know we have some mutual friends, but and we're still, you know, we're going to build and find that as we grow with the show. But there is, you know, when the text is good and you see somebody, the gift of having a director who's in place to sort of decide how the pieces are going to fit, there's a respect inherent there on the approach to the story. You know, we look to Ryan and we say, hey, we know that you know that we fit together. And so the gift of that is, let's explore this. Let's find this together. And the gamesmanship, you know, I get to look to have a lot of fun in this show. You know, some of it comes from a place of ignorance. Some of it comes from a place of like just pure goofiness. But it's really always, I've done a number of two-handers, three-person plays, two-person plays. And it's like a full on, it really is a game of one-on-one. Like you will sprint and get beat over and over again. But then the victories are just so sweet. So, and if you're like me playing one-on-one basketball, the victories are rare. So, you take them where you can, but yeah, no, I think it's just the beginning, you know, it's always about trust. And the cool thing about being an actor, especially when, again, when the text is inherently in a place of giving and caring and understanding, when you walk into a room with another actor who's seen that, you're good. It's like, you know, we build the relationship, we build the groundwork, but it's also like, we know the rules of this world and it's supportive. So it's great.
Another thing that's great that I've been working with Gary Walker, the host of Daybreak on WBGO, our jazz station, for 26 years, but he's been there over four decades, right? He's a legend in jazz radio, and he's from Cleveland, right? And LeBron, you know, royalty in Cleveland, even though he left, right? But he brought them that magical, and when he left, of course they were mad, but when he came back and they won the championship and everything like that, you know, he's an icon there. It's great that Cleveland gets some recognition, and through this play written by a Clevelander, right? Because it's a butt of jokes sometimes, even in the sports world, but Cleveland finally able to pull it off because of this man. Doug, I know that you're an Eagles fan. I know you live in New York City, but did you learn anything about Cleveland kind of ease in doing this play?
Yeah. So look, Cleveland gets a bad rap. I do feel that way. I've done a couple of shows actually weirdly about Cleveland, and it's like Ohio gets a bad rap, which, you know, I'll leave that for the people to discuss as they will. But Cleveland is a really cool city, and it's very specific. You know, it reminds me of bigger cities in a way that, like, the culture shifts as you travel across the city, and it's got a real history and a richness. And any city that can live through such middling sports teams for so long and still support them that way, there's no reason the Browns should have that many fans. Like, that's crazy, but that's commitment, right? Like, and I think especially in sports, being able to foster that. And of course, LeBron came down and it was like an amazing, transcendent, this, I mean, he's, we discuss Jordan versus LeBron in the play, so I won't get into that here, but the, he's an amazing thing, but they weren't going away. You know what? And these guys we meet in this story, they're not the type of fans who are like gonna leave. You know, and it comes up throughout the play, like the idea of walking away from your team and all these things. So no, Cleveland, it's going to sound cheesy, but it's pretty cool. I like Cleveland a lot. It's just too cold, but that's fine. That's fine.
Blake, growing up in the South Side of Chicago, I guess, can I ask you who's better, LeBron or Michael Jordan? Is that a fair question?
I was but an infant when Michael was having his amazing run in the 90s.
I was not, by the way. I was not an infant at that point.
But I'm like, how much can I claim having been a part of that? I mean, no, definitely growing up in a city that had already been stamped as a force in the sports world was kind of cool. But yeah, so for this play, understanding the psychology of people who, like, for me, I don't understand showing up, packing out an arena for a game. You know your team is about to lose, or you know, I was looking into not just sports, the history of sports in Cleveland, but like I was watching, reading up on the Bills, and you know that four Super Bowl tragedy that they
there's a curse. They're cursed.
It's unexplainable. And then, but to how people do find that, I don't know, it has to be something other than just about watching a team win. And there's something, I think, deeply spiritual and communal about it. Not to, you know, I don't know, it's
it's a religion, way, right? It's definitely a religion.
And that's not far-fetched. I'm like, if you can really, I don't know, the all the people coming together and the ritual of it and the spectacle of it, and I think you have to experience it. Because like watching it from afar, you could just be like, oh, those people are crazy. But going through the process and even seeing how everything leading up to the game, the ritual of coming into the arena and the crowd noise, and it's such a beautiful spectacle. And I'm understanding more and more about how sports people think. I was definitely a Bulls fan. And so we didn't get smack talked growing up.
Yep. So. We just have a couple of minutes left. In a minute, Director Ryan George of King James running at George Street Playhouse. Why should people go?
Go there for a laugh. This is a funny play. It does get insightful and endearing and thoughtful throughout many moments of the play, but it is funny, and it is also, and it's heartwarming, and it's also going to be exciting. We have a wonderful, great technical aspect, a video kind of aspect I'm building in to help draw people in who aren't LeBron James fans, and to help them catch up to see where these guys are, so that they are just as excited to hear the conversations and the arguments that they'll have about LeBron James and everything, with the assist of experiencing LeBron James' career. And yeah, great night at the theater. Come see something live. Get off your phones. Come be with other people. And especially if you have a young man in your life, older man in life, anything like that. Maybe they've never been to the theater before. They've only been sports junkies. Bringing them to this, and I think they will realize that the what's happening on that stage are conversations that they are currently having or they need to have. And I think that is vital to building a strong community and getting people together. So if you're looking for a fun night out, something that's going to pull on your heartstrings a bit, and maybe start some conversations, you should come see King James at George Street Playhouse.
Well said from the director of King James. And Ryan George will have you laughing, right? Because he is directing this play. And so thanks, Ryan, for being here.
Thank you so much.
Also want to thank the two stars of the show. Doug Harris, thanks for being here, and congrats again on your Eagles.
Thank you. Thank you. Go Birds.
I know you know how to spell it, too, so you can spell it if you want.
No, I'm good.
We also want to thank Blake Morris. Blake, it's been great to have you on Sports GM.
This was great, Douglas. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Once again, George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick presenting King James, and that runs through April 6th at that wonderful theater in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Guys, we're definitely going to check out the show. Thanks for being here on Sports Jam. Sports Jam is a WBGO Studios production. You can hear all the past shows by going to wbgo.org/studios or wbgo.org/sportsjam. Or you can find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.